The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the holy lawgiver. You are the salvation of your people. By your Spirit, renew us in your covenant of love and train us to care tenderly for all our neighbors. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
Jesus.
The first reading is from Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Where's over here? Let us pray Psalm 1 responsibly. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. Glory to God.
A reading from 1 Thessalonians. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God, in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus called him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Have you ever heard the name A.J. Jacobs? He's written a number of books based on his personal life experiments. For example, he set out to read every entry in a whole set of encyclopedia, millions of words. And he read the whole set of encyclopedias, and then he wrote a book called The Know-It-All. Said he drove his wife crazy. She fined him $1 every time he added an insignificant mention of something in their conversation. If he brought up some stupid fact, she charged him $1 as he was writing the book. He's more well known for his book that he wrote just a couple years ago called The Year of Living Biblically. He started out the year with a very careful read of the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. And as he was reading, he made a list of all of the laws and all of the rules that were written in the Bible. He found more than 613. He found over 700, because he was doing the New Testament as well, not just the Hebrew scriptures. And then he started following those rules. He only wore white clothing. He didn't cut the corners of his beard. He restricted his diet. Now, in the book, he reports that some of those rules that he had found were very easy to keep. For example, do not have sex with your wife's sister. He didn't have any problem with that. His wife didn't have any sisters. But some of them he found were a little more difficult. For example, stone the adulterer in the public square. How is he going to do that? I mean, he knew a lot of adulterers. He lived in Manhattan. So he didn't know what to do. He took a handful of pebbles and went to Central Park, the public square, and was visiting with people. He met a guy, a 70-year-old man, and in their conversation, he found out that he was an adulterer, so he threw pebbles at him. So he kept the law, stoning the adulterer in the public square. Jacob's book that came out a couple years ago have spurred on other people to read the Bible literally and try to keep all the rules. There's a woman in Tennessee, she's a blogger, and if you don't know what a blogger is, don't worry about it. Somebody who's writing their journal publicly. So she's writing this journal online on the computer, and she is following all the instructions in the Bible that apply to women. She went through her through the Bible and wrote down everything, every command, every rule that applies to a woman, to wives, daughters, mothers, grandmothers. She wrote down all of the rules. Her book will come out next year, and after her, the year ends at the end of October, and then she's going to publish her book, and then we can all read how she followed all of these rules, giving everything equal weight, reading everything literally. Now, some of the rules she followed only once, like the rule that says a wife should praise her husband at the city gate. So what she did is bought a huge billboard and put it on the city limit line, and the billboard says, "Rachel thinks Dan is great." So she's praising her husband at the city gate. The law about a woman during her menstrual time cannot sleep in the house caused a little bit of problem because she put a tent on the front yard. And that caused a little upset in their family because she's got small children. So she only kept that law for one time. But keeping these rules and these laws literally has caused problem in her life. Jacobs reports that it caused problems in his life. Today, our scripture text, both gospel and Old Testament, pull us into that world of law keeping and living according to the law. "You shall be holy," we heard from Leviticus, "because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Now, the ancient Jews wanted to fulfill that law, to be holy as God is holy. But how can we do that? How do we know how to be holy? So the law studiers, the rabbis, studied the law and dissected it and explained in complex purity laws and hospitality codes. And they took not only those 10 great commandments that God gave to Moses, but then worked out ways so that there would be a law to keep people from breaking any of those rules. 613 other rules and laws were added. That command to be holy as God can be obeyed if you follow all these other rules. The commands, these other laws and rules, covered every aspect of life, from birth to death, from sex and health and economics and agriculture, social relations, marriage, behavior, everything else, everything. The laws in the Bible describe in minute detail clean and unclean food, rituals around childbirth, rules for how to deal with skin infections, guidelines about planting seeds, what kind of seeds and where you can plant them, rules for the Sabbath, rules for how to forsake idols. Now, some of these rules are rather self-evident, and even today, thousands of years after these rules were written, even today, we're happy to keep these rules. Honor your parents. Care for the poor. Don't steal. Don't have sex with your parents or your child. Don't cheat your employees or your customers. We're happy to keep those laws. There's other laws and rules that we dismiss out of hand, that we say don't apply to us, that don't make any sense to us today. For example, there's a law that says you can't plant two different kinds of seed in your field. So, well, who only plants cucumbers? You know, we plant tomatoes and cucumbers and lettuce all in the same field. There's a law that says don't cut your sideburns. Don't trim your beard. Fletcher's not here. I think he's the only one the only guy. There's a rule that says don't touch dead bodies. We ignore that rule. Some of these rules we should ignore, especially those rules that deal with how to inflict punishment on people who break these rules, like, parents love this one, the death penalty for speaking disrespectfully about your parents or to your parents. So, sassing, that's you're done. No strike three. One time, you know. So we ignore that rule. We don't pay attention to that. None of us have been called in to stone the adulterer in the public square. Now there is a lot of debate about whether the first century Jews that Jesus was talking with actually, how carefully they actually kept all of these rules, how much they concerned themselves with keeping every one of these minute little ritual purity that's set forth in the Hebrew scriptures. But we know that the Pharisees were certainly concerned. One of them, a lawyer, an expert in the law, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Was this a trick question? If Jesus picked out one commandment over the others, was he saying then that we didn't have to obey some of God's commandments? Was that the trick? Or if he said everything is equally important, we say, well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, the law about not getting a tattoo is certainly not as important as the law about not killing your children. Child sacrifice. That's banned, by the way. Everything doesn't have equal weight. But maybe it wasn't a trick question. Maybe this expert in the law was asking the question honestly. Lord, there's so many commands. There's so many rules. How are we to understand them all? Are some more important than others? And Jesus pulled out one command and said, this is the most important of all. It's from the Bible. It is one of those 613 commands that's written down. It's the Shema. It's the law that an observant Jew would have written on a small piece of paper and put right in front of their eyes so that they would never forget it. Hear, O Israel, I am the Lord. The Lord is God, and God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second command is as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the other laws. Like Vicar Joshua said to the little children this morning, if you keep that commandment, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, all of those other rules and laws and commandments and purity codes and household codes will all fall into place. It all makes sense when we say, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. It was a great answer that Jesus gave to what might have been a trick question. Jesus linked our love for God to our love of our neighbor to our love of ourself. You can't separate these. To have one is to have the others. To neglect one is to lose all three. There's a necessary connection between claiming to love God, as we all do, and that's why you're here. You claim to love God. There's a connection between claiming to love God and demonstrating that we love our neighbors. And that was so embedded in the early Christian tradition. All three of the Synoptic Gospels have this story of the question being put to Jesus, what's the greatest law? All three of the Gospels have this story. It's also in the letters of Paul and James and John. It's clear, very clear, from reading the scripture, that this law of love is not about emotion. If we would draw a picture of this commandment, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself, we wouldn't just draw a heart, which talks about emotion and feeling. This is an action word. Love is not a noun. It's a verb. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. It's not about feeling. It's about doing. And this is how much God loves us. God loves us enough to demand that we care for one another. God loves us enough to forgive us and renew us each time we fail. God loves us enough to give us back to each other to try once again to live the law of love. God loves us enough to give us the body and the blood and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, all in the name of love. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. Love is a verb. Put it into action. Amen.